Happy Mother's Day to all mothers, grandmothers, and others who are like mothers to us. And we hope that this is a very special day for you. 4 years ago, Salary.com thought they would estimate how much a mother would be paid per year if they were compensated like other professionals who do some of the things that mothers do. Other CEOs or nutritionists or counselors or chauffeurs, trying to estimate how much mothers should be paid annually if they were compensated financially speaking. Now, we know mothers, grandmothers, it is a labor of love, but wouldn't you know how much you'd be worth financially? Before I tell you, I got to warn us husbands and fathers, we better hope they don't get together and unionize. And we better hope that our grandmothers don't ask for back pay, or we're going to be in trouble. The salary they came up with, annual salary for mothers, $134,121 per year. I think that's a little low myself. Actually, quite a bit low. I don't think anyone can calculate the worth of a godly mother. Perhaps Proverbs 31 verse 10 says it best, "Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies." You godly mothers and grandmothers and godly like mothers to us, you are priceless, and we appreciate you so very, very much. I want us to focus in on a mother that we read about in Scripture. If you will, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Her name is not as well known as her famous son, but apparently she had a tremendous impact on her son that would last the rest of his life and would impact generations to come. Our text will be Exodus chapter 2, first 10 verses, but her name is not even mentioned here. In fact, we don't find her name until four chapters later in Exodus chapter 6. We read in verse 20, "Now Amram took for himself Jochebed, his father's sister, as wife, and she bore him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137. Jochebed is her name. We know her as Moses' mother. But in this text in Exodus chapter 2, I wanted to glean three qualities that made Jochebed a magnificent mother. Three qualities worthy of our emulation and worthy of our appreciation of those godly mothers and grandmothers that we know that manifest these same qualities. But notice with me three qualities about Jochebed. Number one, she envisioned Moses' potential. She envisioned Moses' potential. First two verses of Exodus 2. "A man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months." She saw that he was a beautiful child. Now that's not unusual, is it? They may come out wrinkled and red and their head misshaped, but they're beautiful, especially to mama. But she took note, as we all do with these newborn babies, and saw this is a beautiful child. All parents dote over their newborn babies. But in this passage and in two other passages, there's something that is noted about Moses' uniqueness. Acts 7, verse 20. "At this time, Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God," New King James Version. "And he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months." Other versions state it this way, "He was no ordinary child." Hebrews 11, verse 23, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command." Again, another translation states it, "He was no ordinary child." It makes us wonder, did Jochebed sense that her son was destined to play a major role, that he would indeed play? in God's plan for her people. But we know that because of the actions that she took from this point on, that she envisioned something special about her baby, Moses. She envisioned his potential. I read that about over 200 years ago, there was a music shop owner named Betts who purchased a violin from a man who was just trying to sell this violin so that he could have food to eat. And this music shop owner took the bow and drew it across the strings of the violin, and a wondrous tone came forth. And he was amazed at the tone of this violin that he purchased from a hungry man. He lit a candle and looked carefully inside the violin, and there, as he kind of suspected, was a man's name written, Antonio Stradivari, the date 1704. Those Stradivarius violins are some of the best made and best known. He was a master craftsman. And here he had purchased this violin for the equivalent of $5. But he knew it to be rare and special, and he rushed out of his shop. He tried to find the man who had sold it for food. Couldn't find him. This shop owner later sold it for the equivalent of $5,000. And since then has changed hands for at least $100,000. But I want us to see, when we look at a child, we're looking at something that's been autographed by God. Each child is made in His image. Each child is God's special creation. And each child, all children, are gifts from God, entrusted to our care. Psalm 127, verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth." They are special gifts from God. They're entrusted to our care. But when we look at a child, we need to see God's autograph on them as God's special creation and deserving of the very best care that we can provide. And there's one thing that all parents of multiple children have grown to know. Each child is different. But in each and every child, there's tremendous potential. And I'm not talking about to succeed in life. I'm not talking about necessarily the next president of the United States or the next famous doctor who's going to discover a cure for some of the diseases that plague mankind. But I'm talking about potential for good things, for God. Every child has the potential to lead others to Christ, to be a strong Christian. And so a magnificent mother like Jochebed envisions each and every one of her children as extraordinary and with godly potential. Secondly, something else from Jochebed. She ensured Moses' protection. The scripture says, Exodus 2 verse 2, she hid him 3 months. Now we need some background here to appreciate the fact that she hid the baby Moses 3 months. We go back to Exodus chapter 1, and what we find is a reminder of how Joseph, through the providence of God, had been brought down to Egypt and was put in a place through many a roller coaster, through many challenges in his life, where he was next in line to Pharaoh, just under Pharaoh. And he brought all of his relatives down, the children of Israel, the Israelites, and they lived in Egypt. But then Exodus 1 verse 7 says, "The children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them." So the Israelites began to prosper in number. And then there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war that they join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land." In other words, this new Pharaoh who didn't know about Joseph, didn't know about how God had blessed him and thus Egypt and all the nations around. And so he's fearful that if Egypt went to war, the Israelites could join them. They'd be way outnumbered. So he viewed them as a threat. Let us deal shrewdly with them. And so he came up with some plans, some shrewd plans to try to keep the Israelites under control. First, he tried putting hard taskmasters in charge of them as they served Pharaoh in Egypt. He made their labor intense and very, very difficult, thinking this would keep them beat down. But this didn't work. They continued to multiply and to grow. And so he attempted to manipulate the midwives, gave them instructions to kill the male children. But the scripture says in Exodus 1 that the midwives, feared God. And so they refused to obey Pharaoh's commands. Notice with me verse 22 of Exodus 1. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Now here's Jochebed, expecting a baby. It's something that would normally be something that would bring tremendous delight. But now, when the baby is born and he is a male, it brings nothing but fear. But she saw his potential. She couldn't stand the thought of just throwing him into the crocodile-filled Nile River. And so she did her best to hide the child, hide the baby for 3 months. Can you imagine trying to hide a baby for 3 months? Every time the baby would start crying, you'd have to try to cover up the sound so as to prevent others, those officials of Pharaoh, from coming in, identifying the male infant and throwing him into the river. But for 3 months, they took great pains to protect Moses. And certainly protection of offspring is one of the strongest instincts of motherhood. It's an instinct of mothers to protect their children. Just how Jochebed hid Moses isn't recorded. But again, the Hebrew writer describes her actions as those of faith. Notice again, Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child. He was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. How does that apply to our day and time? I would suggest to you, in many ways, our society has become hostile towards children. We talked recently about this plague of abortion and how the lives of innocent babies are being taken away before they're born into the world. It's a hostile environment in many circles because of this malady. And even when the children are born and they go to school and in society, there's so much anti-God and anti-Christian education, where it's becoming more and more where people don't want the name of God or the name of Christ mentioned in public. And our children are being raised in that environment. Then there's the immoral influences all around, whether it's through the media, whether it's through people trying to get our children to take drugs, whether it's this sexual promiscuity that is saturated in our society. In many ways, our society has become hostile towards children. And that's why the work of godly mothers is so important, to protect their children. Magnificent mothers take whatever steps are necessary to ensure the protection of their own children from those who would harm them. I want to remind you of three sacred rooms where godly mothers have always hidden their children in safety. And one is the womb. The womb. Unfortunately, the most dangerous place for a baby to be in America today is a mother's womb. But godly mothers protect their unborn children. It's designed by God as a protective room of safety for a baby. But a second sacred room is the home. The home. Magnificent mothers seek to transform our homes into a place where children can find unconditional love and acceptance. A place where our children always belong, always fit in, they're always accepted. A place where our children can retreat from the harshness and cruelty of the world. And a place where our children can find love and support and strength. The home should be one of those safe places. Those sacred rooms. A third place is the church. As a room of protection for our children today. Magnificent mothers raise their children in the church where the world's influence and indoctrination can be counterbalanced by the truth of God's word and the support of God's family. And folks, I believe the Creekwood Church has a reputation for being pro-children, that we love the children, and it's my prayer that we'll always have that reputation. Not just the reputation, but the reality of a place where children are loved and they're taught, and they're encouraged, and they're modeled before to help them be raised into strong Christian men and women. The church should be one of those sacred rooms where our children are protected and strengthened. See, like Jochebed, magnificent mothers do their best to ensure the protection of their children from the evil dangers in the world. But then there's a third thing about Jochebed I want to note with you, is that she secured Moses' provision. She secured Moses' provision. Again, Hebrews 11 says it was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. It was by faith that they weren't afraid of the king's command. And so it was by faith that they made those plans to provide for Moses and to protect him. And so we recognize that Jochebed was relying on God's providence to deliver Moses. But I want you to see this about Jochebed, that her faith was not the shrug your shoulders and do nothing kind of faith. She was very, very active in seeking to protect and provide for Moses. One person wrote, God will help us with our needs and problems, but he apparently is not interested in raising spiritual invalids. In other words, God wants to bless, he wants to help, but he doesn't expect us just to sit by and let him do it all. He wants us actively involved. After all, James says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Jochebed is not one of those that just gives up, but she actively helps with protecting and providing for Moses so that God can provide for him as well. And I want you to see how she worked to help provide the deliverance that her son needed. Verse 3 of Exodus 2. When she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes or papyrus for him, daubed it with asphalt or tar and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister, Miriam, stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Isn't it reasonable to assume this also was Jochebed's idea, to have Moses' older sister watch for his care? And then in verse 5, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. Is it not also possible that Jochebed knew where Pharaoh's daughter went to bathe? Could it be that she's hoping and praying that Pharaoh's own daughter will have pity, will have compassion, and will even provide for the baby Moses? And we know how God rewarded Jochebed's faith and hard work. When the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, her maidens walked along the riverside. She saw the ark among the reeds. She sent her maid to get it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Enter Miriam, Moses' sister. "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me. I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. You see God's providence? She made that little ark of safety for him. She had Miriam watch over the baby. Perhaps even knowing that it was at this point, this spot in the river, where Pharaoh's own daughter would come to bathe. And Miriam offers for a Hebrew woman to nurse the child. Pharaoh's daughter likes that idea. And Moses' own mother is brought to care for him. She's even paid for it. Verse 10, "And the child grew. And she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" But there in those early years, Moses' own mother, Jochebed, was able to nurse him, and I believe teach him, 3, 4, maybe even more years. You ever wondered what she said to him? Scripture is silent. We could deduce from Moses' life some things that she said to him, that she taught him. And I want to suggest 2 that I think are reasonable. Number 1, I believe she taught him who God is. I believe she taught him who God is. I feel strongly that she must have taught him about that there are many gods in Egypt, little g. So many gods that the plagues would be a direct affront against these false Egyptian gods. There was only one true living God. And I believe Jochebed underscored that to Moses, even as a little child. I believe she also taught him about who Moses was. "Moses, you're going to be raised by the Egyptians, and you're going to find yourself having all that you ever wanted. But Moses, you're not an Egyptian. You're an Israelite. You're one of God's chosen people." After 3 months of trying to hide the baby Moses in order to try to save his life, I think Jochebed realized she wasn't going to be able to keep him out of the river. But here she prepared this ark to protect the child as he went into the Nile River. And I think this illustrates well how there comes a time when mothers and fathers have to release their children into the world. And perhaps we feel similarly the struggle that she had to have as she let that ark go. And as we let our children go, and we fear for them as much as Moses' mother feared for him. And as much as we'd like to, we can't keep them isolated from the world. But folks, listen, we can help insulate them from the evil influences of the world. We can't isolate them, but we must insulate them. And that's where I believe Moses' mother, while she had that opportunity through the providence of God, she helped insulate Moses. She helped plant those seeds about who God is and who he was that would carry him through. And though there was moments of doubt and feeling incapable of doing what God had planned, eventually I believe her teaching came through. How do we help insulate our children as we release them into the world? I want to suggest 2 ways. We help insulate our children by the lessons that we teach them. Even from a young age, They need to know who God is and who they are. But also by the lives that we live before them. Because the fact is, the lessons we teach our children must be backed by the lives that we live before them. Because it is so true that our children learn more by what they see than by what they hear us say. That's the way we insulate our children, by teaching them and modeling before them the truths of God's Word. We are so thankful for you magnificent mothers and grandmothers and those who have filled those roles in our lives. We thank God for you. But may I ask us all, in whatever capacity we find ourselves, whatever station in life, what lessons are we teaching? What lessons are we living before those around us? The greatest thing any of us could ever do is to help lead a child to Christ. In order to do that, we've got to go that way ourselves. Perhaps it's your desire this morning to go that way, to become a child of God. Based upon your faith, to turn from sin and repentance, to confess the name of Jesus, to be baptized into Christ, so that your sins can be washed away, so that you can be added to the family of God. It may be that as we think about our influence upon our children, upon those around us, we realize we made mistakes and we need God's forgiveness and we need the prayers of the church. Won't you let that be known? Let's do whatever we can to help our children go to heaven. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?